Praise God. Well, I'm just going to try to bring a few things together this morning as we end talking about the church. We're not going to quit being the church. We're just at the starting line, right, of being the church. But we're going to be going on to some other topics, Lord willing, the next few weeks. But I just want to talk to you this morning and see what the Lord would like to do to bring together what he's been expressing to us. How many of you know that whenever God is speaking something to us, He's speaking things to us so that He can change us? The scripture tells us that if we hear the words of the Lord and we do them, we're like a man or a woman who builds their house on the rock. So when the storm comes or the opposition comes, the house will be standing firm. But if we hear things from God and the Holy Spirit speaks things to us and we don't embrace those things and let them translate into a change of life, the scripture says that we're foolish. It says it's like we're building our house on the sand, and when the storms come, the house is not going to be able to stand. So as God has been revealing truth to us by His Holy Spirit, as He always does, how many of you know it's important to embrace that truth and say, God, we want to take what You're showing us and we want it to translate into change in our life. If God values your time, do you know that? God values your time. And we value your time. And if you take time to come and be a part of what's taking place here as we gather together corporately as the church, if God would take this amount of time to try to connect us with His heart for the world, to connect us with what He's doing in the earth, which is building His church, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Let me just ask you again this morning, are you glad to be on the winning side? Are you glad to be on God's team? Well, being on God's team, being on the winning side, comes with responsibility. It comes with a great responsibility to do what the team captain is calling us to do. And so God has been speaking things to us, and He's been revealing things to us by His Spirit, as only He can do. And He's been calling us to be more. He's been calling us as a church to be more, because God wants to do more through His church. Do you agree with that? And He wants us to have a deeper understanding of what that's all about. And we as a church only become more as we individually become more, because we're interdependent. We're interdependent. We're joined together. It's all of us. I want you to look around this room again. All of us in this room. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's looking around. Everybody, yeah, going. Brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us together, as we individually are stronger, we're corporately stronger. When we're individually more like Jesus, we're corporately more like Jesus. When we're individually surrendered to the will and the purposes of the Father, then corporately we're more surrendered to the will and purposes of the Father. And so as we go forth from this point, I just believe that God wants us to go forth with the understanding and the knowing that He's called us to be His church. And as we are the church, we will fulfill His purposes. I love the way that the guy said that up there. He said, it's not about the building. It's about the builder and the kingdom that He's building. And it's not a earthly kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom that's full of, I heard Reinhard Bonnke say this one time. He said, I'm not going to quit until hell is empty and heaven is full. See, the kingdom that God is building is a kingdom of people that He wants to pull out of the domain of darkness, and He wants to rescue them, and He wants to give them all that He has prepared for them from the very beginning. And do you want to be a part of making that happen? Amen. I love so much that as we begin to look at how the Lord, through the writers in the scriptures, inspiring them, to write the scriptures so that we could see what the church is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to function. The church that God thought of, that He originated and that He created and that He brought through Jesus to be built on this earth. He gave us pictures to help us see what that's like. What benefit it would be to us to be a part of that body. The body of Christ. He said that we're members. Each one of us are members. And that there's no one member that's any more significant than the others. We all play a vital role in the body of Christ. And that there is no body if there aren't members that come together. That we need the hand connected to the arm, connected to the shoulder. We need the toes connected to the feet, connected to the ankles. Parts on the inside that you can't see that serve such an incredible function. But this body works so much better when all of the parts are working together. And so the body of Christ works so much better when it's all working together. He wants it working together. I'm so glad to be called a member, aren't you? A member in the body of Christ. It's not about an individual member, you or me, or what we have to offer, but it's as we come together. And as we surrender what He's given us, and as He unites us together as one to accomplish His will and purposes in this earth, it becomes about the head. Amen. And the head is Jesus. I'm glad He called me a member. That's a good thing. But I'm also glad that He called me a stone, a living stone. Are you glad that He made you alive? That when we said yes and He breathed His life into us, we went from being dead to being alive. That old things pass away and all things became new. That we are a new creation in Christ. That we are a new people in Him. That we are now alive. And the scripture says that each of us are living stones that He's putting together. He's building together as a dwelling place for His Spirit. I want you to so get that in your hearts as you go forward, that we, the church, are it. I mean, we're it. We're what God chose. We're it. There is no plan B. To deposit His Spirit and to deposit His power and to deposit His authority and to deposit His love so that we could go being made alive by Him to carry His life to those who are dead. You know that the church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world because we are the carriers of Jesus. We are living stones. And I'm glad that He called me a member. And I'm glad that He called us members. And He called us living stones. That's wonderful. But I also love even more than that, that He went beyond that and He said that you are more than just a stone. You are more than just a member. You are my treasured son. And you are my treasured daughter. That God said that when you give your life to Him, that what happens is what He already had planned, you know, before the beginning of time. His plan was for every human being that was ever born on this earth to become a part of His everlasting family. And His family is His church. And when we give our lives to God, excuse me, we give our lives to God. The scripture says then that He adopts us into His family. And that He has loved us with an everlasting love. And that we're no more orphans. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphanless. And regardless of where you came from, regardless of what your background was or your history was or the journey that you've taken up until that point, in that moment when you turn your life to God, and you receive His love into your life, the scripture says that He adopts you and He makes you one of His sons and one of His daughters. And what He's saying by that is this, that His church is an intimate place to be. That it's a family like no other family you've ever experienced in this earth. All of us have come from family experiences that have had some amount of dysfunctionality. But see, the thing about it is even if we didn't have a perfect family, even if we didn't have a wealthy family or a structured family or what we thought we needed in this life, the scripture says that we now have a family that belongs to God and that this family is forever. I love that David wrote in the scripture. He said this. He said, even if my father and mother forsake me, he said, oh God, you will take me up. You look around in this place this morning. When we as a people give our lives to God and we become believers, then we're joined and we're knit together in a family. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad to be in a family?
Amen.
A family that will last for all of eternity. I love the fact that we have a God who calls himself our daddy. Isn't that an amazing thing? He says, I'm your dad. I'm your dad. I'm your father. The family of God. And so we've looked at all these different pictures, and this morning I just want to briefly touch on the last one. So if you have your notes from your bulletin, you can pull them out. If not, you can follow along on the screen back behind me. He also said that the church is his flock. All throughout Scripture, sheep are mentioned more than any other animal in the Bible. Over 200 times in the Bible altogether. And all throughout the Scripture, we see that Jesus... Thank you very much. You know who I remember drinking water the most while they were speaking? Do y'all remember Brother Coleman Lackey? Do y'all remember what he used to do? Do y'all remember what he used to do? How many of you ever saw Brother Coleman Lackey? Let me see your hand. You know what he would do? He'd open his bottle of water and he would drink. He'd say, that sure is good. Don't y'all wish y'all had some? It just make me thirsty watching him do that. He was a blessing. The Scripture says that we are a part, when we come into the kingdom of God, that we become a part of God's flock. And he compares us to sheep because there's a lot of characteristics about us as humans and creatures as sheep that are very much alike. And they're not all very flamboyant. They're all not very majestic. They're qualities that tell us again that we are a people who need a shepherd. We are a people who need to be a part of a flock. That we as creatures are made up, that we need someone who will lead us and who will guide us and who will protect us, and that is a great shepherd.
Amen.
And that when we give our lives to God, we become a part of the flock. And let me read you a scripture. It says this. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, Now may the God of peace... Are you glad he's a God of peace?
Amen.
We do not serve a God of war. We do not serve a God who's for taking everybody else out that don't agree with us. We serve a God who is about going after all of those who don't know him. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead. Are you thankful that he died and he rose again?
Amen.
We have these little Bible stories on my daughter's iPad and we watch them at night. And it breaks them out in all these different Bible stories. And so there's the crucifixion. And I love when she picks the crucifixion to watch, but I never, even if it's past her bedtime, I don't stop with the crucifixion. We go to the resurrection. Because the cross wasn't the end of the story. The empty tomb was the end of the story. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Are you a sheep? He's a great shepherd. It says the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The everlasting covenant. The everlasting blood covenant. He is our shepherd and we are his sheep because of the blood that Jesus shed, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. The reason that we as humans can have a relationship with the Almighty God, and so that he can become our father, and we become his children. So that he can be our shepherd and we can be his flock under his care, under his watchful eye, is because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, get this, make you, everybody say, make me. Make you complete. I think the King James Version says perfect, but that word there means complete. Do you know that God is wanting to make his flock complete? God loves us so much that he saved us, but he doesn't want to leave us the way that we are. That through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he wants to make us complete in every good work to do his will. It's not a bunch of requirements that he's trying to hang on our lives or on our backs, a bunch of rules and regulations. He said this. He said, I love you so much that I've saved you and I'm working in you and I want to complete you and I want to perfect you so that you can be about being a co-laborer with me to do my will on the earth. It says this, working in you, working in you, working in you, working in you. Everybody say, he's working in me. He's working in me, the great shepherd of this flock. It says that He is working in us what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Are you thankful that the great shepherd of the sheep has called us to be a part of His flock? Amen. And that because of the blood of Jesus, He's brought us into relationship with Him, and He is perfecting us. He's working in us. He is completing us. He's working in us what is well-pleasing to Him. Does anybody besides me in here need God to continue to work? Amen. And what is the purpose of His working? The purpose of His working is that we would be made into vessels that He can use for His honor and for His glory. What does that mean? Do you know that each and every one of us are vessels in the hand of the Master? That we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And He's just waiting to pour Himself out of us onto the people around us. So God is working in us as we will allow Him to work in us. How many of you know He can do more when we're cooperating with Him? He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And the Scripture tells us this, that He created the come together place, the assembly of His people, so that He can do more and more and more of what it is that He wants to do in all of our lives. How many of you know the Scripture says this, that He created the church, which is His body. And He gave something to the body. You know what He gave to the body? He gave to the body gifts. He gave to the body apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For what? He gave them to cooperate with him, to accompany the sheep on their journey. Everywhere we turn, God is so good to us. He gives us what we need. And when we connect to what He's giving us, how many of you know that He makes this journey possible? He makes this journey victorious. God gave us the church. He gave gifts to the church. He gave teachers. Some of you were in classes this morning. They were teaching you things from the Word of God to help you. He gives you pastors. Brother, Pastor Jerry and Elaine and those that are on staff here, they're here to help you, to equip you, to help you grow in the Lord. So that we can become, as that scripture in Hebrews says, all that He wants us to be. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So on your notes, and I'm not going to go through them, the three things, I want to get to the back page, the three things that God gives you shepherds for. And I think that you know this. They cooperate with Him. That word pastor in Ephesians in the Greek actually means shepherd. God enlists under shepherds. He enlists shepherds. And He has put together a leadership group of people to work with Him in the church, to walk with us on our journey, to accompany us so that we can become all that God's called us to be. And through being a part of the church, the Scripture says that the shepherd provides nutrition, spiritual nutrition for us. He provides spiritual protection for us. And He provides spiritual direction for us. How many of you know that there are benefits to being a part of the flock of God? Sheep need a shepherd. We need to be a part of the flock. But I want you to flip your notes over. I'm going to close with this. You guys can come on back to the stage if you want to. We're going to close out a little bit early today. Do something a little bit different. I don't want to close, though, our time together talking about the church without challenging you. Because what we've been talking about is we've been talking about all of the benefits that God has made available to us in the church. And all of what He wants to dispense in our lives and fill us up with. But it's not so we can just be full. It's so that we can do something with it. And I want to challenge you today with three quick responsibilities of the sheep. Did you know sheep had responsibilities? Besides doing something else, besides just looking cute and being stinky, right? Real quickly, I want three responsibilities that all of us in the flock of God have. The first one is this, is that all sheep need to get in. All sheep need to get in, and this is a two-step process. First, if you're not a sheep, you need to become a sheep. And I don't know what condition your heart is in this morning. I know that we all come here. God draws us here. And this may be your day to become a sheep. This may be your day to come out of darkness and into light. But if you're going to be a part of God's flock, you've got to get into the flock. And the way we get into the flock, the scripture says this in John 10:7. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." There is no more important thing in all the world right here, right now, today than for you to know that you're a sheep. Are you a part of God's flock? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Have you responded to His love and to His call to you to say, you know what? I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I'm not a sheep, but I want to be a sheep. I'm not a son or a daughter this morning, but I want to be a son or a daughter. This is what Jesus says to you this morning. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. You say, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. You don't even have to live like that. You can live knowing, I am a sheep. I belong to the shepherd. I've given my life to Him. I've surrendered my all to Him. This morning, God loves you so much. There's no deeper revelation that He would want to unfold in this house this morning than this. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He is the door to the sheep. If we will come through Jesus, we can have everlasting life. So do you want to get in? I want you to close your eyes this morning. I'm going to just pray for you. How many of you would agree with me, if you're already a sheep, that God would like to birth some new sheep in this place this morning? If you know that you haven't given your life to God, if you know that you haven't made Him the Lord of your life, or if you wonder if you have, this morning I would just like for you to simply turn that around and simply receive the goodness of God and simply receive His love and become a sheep this morning. Become a part of His flock. Become a part of His family. Out of darkness into light. And the scripture simply says this, that if you will confess Him with your mouth that He is Lord, and if you would just believe in your heart that God raised Him up from the dead, the scripture says you'll be saved. Right there where you're sitting this morning, I just want you to repeat after me this prayer in your heart. And it doesn't have to be what I'm saying. This is just a guide for you. Just say, "Dear Father, I sense your love. I sense your truth. God, I need you. I'm lost without you. I'm broken. I'm in sin. I'm in darkness. And I need you to rescue my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me from my past. Make me into a new creation in the mighty name of Jesus. I make you the Lord of my life. I confess you as my King. I confess you as my Father. I thank you that old things are passed away now, and all things have become new, because I put my trust and my faith in you, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name." Let's just give the Lord a hand clap for what He's doing in people's lives this morning. This morning at the end of service, our prayer leaders are going to be across the front. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, and you meant it out of your heart, then I want you to come and I want you to let one of us know that you did that this morning and you became a sheep this morning. You became a sheep this morning. But secondly, I said it's a two-part process. All sheep need to get in. We need to get into Jesus, but then we need to get into His flock. Because how many of you know there can be some lone sheep out there? And lone sheep are prey for the enemy. We were never created to be alone. That's why God said there we have need a shepherd, and He wants us to be a part of His flock. In Psalms 23:6, as we're reading the book, David's psalm about the shepherd, where he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I," a sheep, he's writing from a sheep's perspective, "and I will dwell," everybody say dwell. Where? Out on my own, by myself, in my own kingdom. "I will dwell in the house." Everybody say the house. That word there means the household. The family unit is what that word means. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The joy of becoming a sheep in the kingdom of God is that He's prepared a flock that He's invited us to be a part of. And He said, "Come and dwell in my house. Come and dwell in my house." How many of you know that's a decision that we make? He said, I didn't just call you out, but I've called you together and I want you to dwell in my house. That word dwell means to abide, to stay permanently, to make it your home, to homestead it, the house of God. And my challenge to you this morning is this, and this point, is God is calling us to get in. He's calling us to get in at a deeper level. Not those who have just given their hearts to the Lord this morning, but all of us. He wants us to plant ourselves in His house. To plant ourselves in the flock. The scripture says this. It says that we need to be like trees that are firmly planted by the rivers of living water. How many of you know that if you're not firmly planted, you can't grow? See, the enemy wants to keep us from being firmly planted, and he will use a whole lot of different ways to do it. He's okay if we're planted once a month. He's okay if we're a part-time member of the flock. But the scripture tells us that if we're going to become all that God wants us to be, that we're going to have to be firmly planted. And do you know that we plant ourselves? The scripture says unless a seed falls into the ground and it's planted, it's just going to be alone. We were never created to be alone. You've heard of lone wolves? Well, there's lone sheep too. We weren't created to be lone sheep. We were created to be a part of a flock. And God's called us to be firmly planted. Have you ever transplanted something? You ever planted something and said, oh, you planted something, then your wife said, that's not where I wanted that plant. I want to plant over there. You pick it up. Well, that's really not where I wanted to plant it. Maybe it's the living room. You're moving the furniture all around. There, there. But how many of you know if you take a plant and you plant it and then, oh, you pick it up and you put it over here and then over here and over here. How many of you know it can't grow? For our lives to change, then we've got to get in. And I'm calling you by the Holy Spirit to get in the flock at another level. To get in the flock at another level. Not out of obligation, but out of opportunity and knowing what it will bring you and your marriage and your children and your life to be a part of God's design and to do it His way. So all sheep need to get in. Number two, all sheep need to grow up. It's wonderful when a lamb is born, but a lamb doesn't need to stay a lamb. That lamb, if it is healthy, then it will be growing and it will be maturing. How many of you know that our spiritual maturity is something that's really up to us? We have to cooperate with what it is that God wants to do. No more than just coming to the house, you can go stand in a garage and it doesn't make you a car, does it? You can come stand in the building and it doesn't cause us to grow. We have to choose to be open to God. We have to choose to cooperate with God. We have to choose to be open to the Holy Spirit and say, I don't want to stay the way I am any longer. Is there anybody in here besides me that would say there's things in my life that are growing and that are looking good, but there's areas of my life that have been a deserted place, and I want God to bring growth and fruitfulness in those areas of my life. God didn't bring us into His flock so that we would stay anemic and weak. He brought us into His flock so that we would grow and that we would mature. I don't want this scripture to be a scripture about me. In Ephesians it says, until we come to the unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up the full stature of Christ, that we should no longer be children. But speaking in the truth and love, we may grow up in some things. No, it says to grow up in all things. How many of you know that God's wanting us to grow? I would ask you to challenge yourself, to open your heart to the Holy Spirit and say, what areas of my life, Holy Spirit, do I need to grow in? As I plant myself in your house, as I plant and I commit myself, God, to doing things your way. We're real good at inviting God to be a part of things that we're doing. But God is inviting us to be a part of what He's doing. That when we're planted like a tree by the rivers of living water, then what will happen? We will bring forth fruit in our season. Any area of our life that's not bringing forth fruit, how many of you know God wants to make it fruitful? God wants to make it fruitful. God wants to make it fruitful. He wants us to get in. He wants us to be in the flock. He wants us to be growing in the flock. And guess what? Any sheep that's born, any sheep that's growing, how many of you know a healthy sheep that's growing is also going to do this? They're going to reproduce. They're going to reproduce. Number three is this. He wants us to go out. He wants us to get in. He wants us to grow up. And He wants us to go out. And listen, no one in this room is exempt from this. No one. It's a great joy that God's given us. It's why He left us here. That He could work in us to change us so that we could carry Him to go out. To go out. To go out. What did He say? He said, go into the highways and the hedges. And what? And compel them to come in. What? To the building? No. To come into the church. To come into His family. To come into the flock. To come be a part of the body. Go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Don't tune me out with this one. It's our role. It's His goal. So as we're closing out this season where we're talking about the church and us being the church, commit at a new level. Grow in new ways. Go in new ways. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in you. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in you. But guess what? He's a gentleman. He's not going to force it on us. But He did say this. He said, when you're filled with My Spirit, He said, go and make disciples. What's a disciple? It's just a follower of Jesus. How will they know unless someone tells them? Someone's got to tell them. How many of you know that we're sheep and we're called to talk? Talking sheep. We're called to go. We're called to go. And what I want to do is that video ready? Okay, what we're going to do is this. We're going to watch this video to close the service, to go into the end of the service, and then I'm going to call you to worship, and that's going to be our ending. As you watch this time, I want you to watch it from just a little bit different perspective. Close your eyes just a second. If you're okay with it, just lift your hands. And if you can do this, just say, Father, I surrender to You. I want to be a sheep in Your flock. I want to be in. I want to grow. I want to reproduce. I want to be more than I am today. I want to come to the full measure and maturity of who You're calling me to be. God, I want to be the church in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I've been talking to a lot of people, and everybody has their thoughts. Everybody has their opinions. Everybody has their facts. Everybody has their statistics. And most importantly, everybody has their experiences. So I thought I'd add a little word into the conversation, if I may, and I hope that you'll let me know what you think, whether you agree with me or not, when I ask the question, what is the church really about? To me, it's not about religion telling you what to do. It's about Jesus teaching you who to be. It's not about religion modifying your behavior. It's about Jesus transforming your heart. It's not about religion shaming you for your past. It's about Jesus redeeming you from it. What is the church really about? It's not about an organization that wants your money. It's about a God that wants your heart. It's not about the church turning a blind eye to the real problems of the world. It's about God trying to open our eyes to the hope that He's bringing into them. It's not about religion forcing you to follow rules. It's about Jesus inviting you to follow Him. It's not about religion freezing you into a mold. It's about allowing Jesus to continually mold and shape and change and work inside of you. It's not about religion holding you down. It's about Jesus rising up. It's not about religion being dead. It's about Jesus bringing life. And please don't get me wrong. I think that the church can be a great place. I just think that it's at its best when it's not a place at all, but a people. Because it's not about a building. It's about the builder and the kingdom He's bringing. It's not about controlling you. It's about setting you free. It's not about puffing you up with facts. It's about encouraging you with faith. It's not about hate. It's about hope. It's not about pressure. It's about peace. And it is about righteousness. Just not self-righteousness. And never at the cost of love. What is the church really about? It's not about some exclusive club. It's about an inclusive family. It's not about pastors getting rich. It's about being rich with grace. It's not about this denomination or that denomination, but putting Christ at the head of everything. And it's not about wearing the right clothes on Sunday morning. It's about clothing ourselves in His presence. And it's not even about Sunday morning in the first place. It's about every single day. Because the church is not about proving yourself. It's about accepting the one who's already been proved. It's not about justifying your behavior. It's about surrendering to the one who has already justified you. It's not about doing more right than wrong. It's about knowing the one who is good. It's not about the controversy we can stir up. It's about the love that came down. It's not about getting all your questions answered. It's about the freedom we have to ask the questions in the first place. And it's about the God who is always listening. What is the church really about? It's not about proving your point. It's about pointing to a Savior. What do you think?
I'm going to invite everybody to stand. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about the church the last few weeks. It's been a fun journey, and I'm thankful now that we have an opportunity to do more than just talk about it. We get to be it in new ways. How many know God's growing us all? I'm going to ask our prayer leaders, if they would, to come across the front real quickly here. This morning, if you became a sheep, this morning, if you gave your heart to the Lord, or maybe you made things right and you rededicated your life, as we begin to worship, I want to invite you down to come and let one of us know. We just want to rejoice with you. We just want to pray for you as you begin this journey in the Lord. For the rest of you, accept the challenge that the Lord's laid before us to get in at a greater level. Now, let me break that down just a little bit. What does that mean? It means cooperate with the church. It means to do things God's way. Now, listen, how does that translate out into life? Okay? How's that translate out into life? Don't be a part-time connector with the church. Don't do church on your own terms. Get in with both feet. Connect in new ways. Listen, the bottom line is this. If you just come once a month, start coming twice a month. If you don't know anybody in here, find somebody to get to know them. If you're not attending a group, get involved in a group. Men's group, women's group, Sunday school classes. We have so many things going on around here. Singles. Get in. And then grow. How many of you make a commitment with me this morning that we'll say that we are, as a church, we're going to bear more fruit? We're, as a church, we're going to bear more fruit. We're going to bear more love. We're going to bear more grace. We're going to bear more faithfulness and kindness and tenderness. All the things that God wants to birth through us, we're going to grow more. And then we're going to go more in Jesus' name. Amen.